You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. For more information, visit studylegalenglish.com. Hello and welcome to the Study Legal English podcast. I'm your host, Louise, and today I'm going to give you an overview of employment law and what it means to be an employment lawyer. So today we will be looking at what employment law involves, what employment lawyers do, and the skills you need to be an employment lawyer. Now, you can download a free cheat sheet on this episode, which gives you the main points talked about today, if you visit studylegalenglish.com/episode95. So you'll get a free cheat sheet on this episode if you go to studylegalenglish.com/episode95. And before we get started, I've got a question for you. Are you an employment lawyer? If so, what does your work involve? Or would you like to be an employment lawyer? If so, why? Let me know. Send me an email to louise@studylegalenglish.com or connect with me on social media. You can find me by searching @LegalEnglisher. Great. So let's get started. What are a company's most valuable assets? It's technology, it's IP, the offices. Some would argue it's the employees, and that employment law is therefore one of the most important aspects for the commercial world. But what is employment law? Employment law governs the relationship between employers and employees, and their rights and obligations. It's an important area of law to ensure that employees' rights are safeguarded against over-exploitation by employers, and equally that obligations owed to employers are fulfilled by employees. In England, many of the rights of employees are consolidated in the Employment Rights Act 1996, but employment law isn't just concerned with rights whilst an employee is at work. Employment is a vast area of law and governs the whole life cycle of employment, from recruitment through to termination. It also covers everything in between. This includes the interview process, the hiring process, the terms of the contract of employment, working hours, everything related to remuneration, for example, pay, holiday pay, sick pay, maternity and paternity pay, redundancy packages, pension rights on retirement, and bonuses. Other pertinent issues are related to data protection, promotions, and workplace grievances, which are typically related to redundancy, unlawful dismissal, breach of contract, harassment, bullying, health and safety, and discrimination. A claim against someone for discrimination can be brought on a number of grounds. The grounds of, firstly, age. This means that a person is a particular age or belongs to an age range, for example, 18 to 30 years old. The second ground is disability. This means that a person has a physical or mental impairment, which has a substantial and long-term adverse effect on that person's ability to carry out normal day-to-day activities. The third ground is gender reassignment. This means that a person is transitioning or has transitioned from one gender to another. The next ground is marriage and civil partnership. This means the legal union between a man and a woman or between a same-sex couple. The next ground is pregnancy and maternity, which means the state of being pregnant or expecting a baby. Maternity refers to the period after the birth. It's connected to maternity leave in the context of employment law. The next ground is race. This means the group of people defined by their race, colour and nationality, including citizenship, ethnic or national origins. The next ground is religion or belief, which has the regular meaning that you would imagine. It refers to religious beliefs as well as philosophical beliefs, and includes atheism, which means the lack of belief in a god, and it relates to religion and beliefs which affect your life. The next ground is sex. This means a man or a woman. And the final ground is sexual orientation, which means whether a person's sexual attraction is towards their own sex, the opposite sex, or to both sexes. So these things that I've just mentioned are called protected characteristics under the Equality Act 2010, and they are protected by that act. If somebody discriminates against you on one of those things, then of course you can bring a case for discrimination. What do employment lawyers do? Employment lawyers act for either employers or employees on a range of employment issues, and often do a mix of both contentious and non-contentious work. Let's take a closer look at the work involved. Let's look first of all at lawyers acting for employees. Lawyers who represent employees may act for an individual or a group, for example, a trade union. When a dispute arises, they typically advise clients, firstly, on whether they have a potentially successful claim, in which they take into account a number of factors. For example, if we're dealing with a discrimination case, they'll take into account when the discrimination took place, how long it went on for, whether there were witnesses, and how the employer responded to the treatment. Once it's established that they do indeed have a claim, the lawyer will assess how much damages they should claim. Moving forward, the parties will attempt to reach an out-of-court settlement, either through the company's internal grievance procedure or through ADR, alternative dispute resolution, such as negotiation or conciliation. If a settlement cannot be reached, then the case will go to the Employment Tribunal, with appeals being heard at the Employment Appeals Tribunal. Although certain cases, such as breach of contract claims, may be heard in court. The lawyer will need to prepare documents for hearings and appear in the tribunal to represent his or her client. Let's move now to lawyers acting for employers. Lawyers acting for employers carry out a range of tasks. They are expected to negotiate and draft employment contracts and offer letters. They're supposed to advise on the legality of employment matters, such as whether a dismissal would be deemed unfair or not, and whether a recruitment process could be subject to a claim under the Equality Act 2010. Non-contentious work also includes advising on and drafting HR, human resources, policies in order to avoid liability for workplace disputes, and as well as this, helping other lawyers within different departments within the firm on matters related to mergers and acquisitions, reorganisation, and outsourcing, where of course employment issues arise. Moving on to contentious work, when disputes do arise, most of the time counsel for employers are acting as defence to settle claims against the employer being brought by the employee. This could involve negotiating with trade unions when there is a large-scale industrial dispute, or, of course, it could also involve just an individual employee. However, occasionally it's the employer who brings a claim against the employee, for example, for breaching a non-compete clause in the employment agreement. What skills does an employment lawyer need? It's essential to be on the ball and up to date with employment law. This is an area of law which changes regularly, and of course, clients need to be informed. It's also closely connected with developments in society. In recent years, the global hashtag MeToo movement had a knock-on effect in the number of cases involving harassment in the workplace. And another issue, the emergence of the gig economy has meant a rise in high-profile cases involving the status of workers and, of course, their rights to sick pay, holiday pay, and maternity leave. An employment lawyer also needs to have excellent people skills. Similarly to family law, this is an area of law where the lawyer develops really strong relationships with clients and helps them to cope with an emotionally distressing time in their life with potentially very personal details. Sometimes cases can go on for years, and the lawyer is there to guide them through this process. Great. So that's the end of this episode. I hope you found it useful and learned something new. Don't forget to answer my question. Do you work in or would you like to work in employment law? If so, why? Let me know. Send me an email to louise@studylegalenglish.com or join in the conversation on social media. Just search for @LegalEnglisher. Of course, if you're a podcast pro member, then do head over to studylegalenglish.com where you can find all your membership benefits to help you really get ahead of all the others with your learning of legal English. So thanks for listening and see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Study Legal English podcast. If you really want to get ahead, why not become a member and gain access to many learning resources? Visit studylegalenglish.com/pricing.